Our Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us together this morning. Lord, what a joy it is to be able to just reflect on you, our loving God. Lord, you are faithful. You never change. You are all-powerful. Lord, you created everything out of nothing, and you sovereignly rule over all your creation. Father, you providentially work in our lives in ways we're not even aware of, as you do work your good purpose and plan in our lives. Father, just thank you. Thank you so much for everything that you do. And Lord, so many things that we take for granted. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your working in our lives and seek to follow your leading. Father, thank you for your goodness to us as you daily provide our needs, as you walk through every situation with us. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us in your word, and you speak to us through your word so that we can understand how to live our lives and how we can live in a sinful world to bring honor and glory to you. I just pray that your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will teach us the truth of your word this morning. And Lord, help us as we leave this place this morning to be motivated, be eager to apply what you teach us, as your Holy Spirit guides us and directs us. And I pray, Father, that you will guide the Sunday school teachers who are teaching the children this morning as well. So we just commit this time to you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you remember the Candid Camera show? It used to be on TV a number of years ago. In one episode, some children were used to conduct an experiment on generosity. Each child was placed in a room by him or herself or herself with a plate of cookies. And now there were a minimum of two cookies and maybe more, but each time a child was placed in the room, there was one cookie on the plate that was double the size of all the other ones. So you know which cookie the children, each one of them, chose. They chose the biggest one. Well, Alan Funt, remember he was the host, he asked one of the boys about his taking the biggest cookie. He said, all you left me what to eat was the little cookie. He said, if I would have been in there, I would have eaten the little cookie and given you the big cookie. Well, the boy, without even blinking, said, well, then you got the one you wanted, didn't you? Now, for some reason, I don't think he got the point of this. If that experiment revealed anything, it's that generosity can be taken for granted, and I think that's often what happens. Do you consider yourself a generous person? Are you willing to share what you have to help other people? Are you generous with your money, your possessions, your time, your abilities, your energy, even your wisdom, your expertise? Are you generous with these things? Are you generous with service, with compassion for people? Are you generous with forgiveness, extending forgiveness to people? You know, if you think about generosity, it's a quality that all of us as believers should be characterized by, because it's a Christ-like characteristic, isn't it? As Jesus walked on this earth, every day he was being generous to people, giving his time, giving his love, giving his energy, ministering to people. He commanded us to love others the way he loved us, and that means be generous as he is generous. As Christ's followers, we need to emulate him and not be generous out of obligation or duty, which then counteracts our generosity, but willingly, in rejoicing in giving what we have to help other people. It really is interesting, if you think about generosity, it can be a tricky thing. I think we would all agree it's easier to be generous with something that we have a lot of than something we don't have much of. I mean, yeah, I've got plenty I can share. It's also easier to be generous with people who we think will reciprocate or pay us back than it is to be generous with people who we assume will never even appreciate what we give them. Generosity can be tricky, can be hard, and it's with our sinful, selfish nature, those kind of things creep up. But it's also, I think, especially difficult to be generous if we think our generosity will be taken for granted, if we think people will just use us and not appreciate what we have done. In the book of Philippians, we learn that the Philippian believers were generous with Paul, the Apostle Paul, and in his ministry as they assisted him. Now, one of the reasons Paul wrote this letter of Philippians that we've been studying was to thank the Philippian believers for the financial gift they had sent him. He was imprisoned in Rome, and they had sent him a gift to help with his ministry there. And in fact, if you look at Philippians 4, verse 10, go ahead and open your Bibles there. Let me remind you of what we studied in our last passage before Christmas here from Philippians. In Philippians 4, verse 10, Paul didn't want the people to think that he was taking their generosity for granted. And he wrote in Philippians 4, 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity." So Paul is expressing his joy that God had enabled the Philippian believers to send this financial gift to him to help him with his ministry there. But Paul knew that they were poor. They were facing persecution. They were struggling in their own lives financially. But he wanted them to understand that he didn't think, he was questioning, why hadn't you sent money earlier? Why did you stop? It's been about 10 years since he had been together with them. So he wants them to understand that he knew their situation, it was difficult, and they probably didn't have the means to even send a gift to him. But he knew they had sacrificed to support him as they put this gift together to send it to him. It was out of love for him. Paul didn't want the Philippians to think that he's complaining either, as if he's saying, like, I have been in need, I've barely been getting by, and now you finally are sending something. He didn't want them to get that impression either. And so he continues in verse 11, "Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." So Paul didn't want the believers there in Philippi to think they had caused him added suffering because they had not been able to help him with his needs there. They hadn't been able to send any money for several years. Even though he often had barely what he needed to get by, he didn't want them to think they had let him down. So he assured them that he was content, or he was satisfied with whatever he had, whether it was a little bit or much. It didn't matter. He had learned that God was always going to provide what he needed in the moment. And so he's assuring them, hey, I'm not complaining or griping that you hadn't sent money, but I'm rejoicing that you did. But I just want you to know God is faithful, and I trust him. He'll provide, and he always has provided what he needed. He trusted God to strengthen him in the midst of prosperity or in the midst of poverty. And he was willing to continue to serve God. And it didn't matter if the Philippians had sent this gift or not. He wanted them to understand that God was faithful. He was content. He wanted them that he was content with or without the gift that they had sent. So you can just kind of see how Paul, as he's writing, is kind of going, well, I want them to know I appreciate it, but I don't want them to feel bad that they hadn't sent something. And he just kind of keeps going back and forth. Well, now that he's told them, I rejoice that you sent the gift, but I want you to know that I've been fine even though you didn't send the gift. I don't want you to feel bad. He didn't want them to start thinking, well, why did we send the gift? He's telling us he really didn't need it. Is that what he's telling us? And he didn't want to think them to think that he's taking their generosity for granted. Like, well, yeah, thanks for the gift, but I'm really fine without it. And he realized, though, that God was using their generosity to enable him to continue the ministry, even though he was imprisoned in Rome. So as he concludes this letter, he wants to make sure they knew how important they were to his ministry. He wants to assure them that their generosity had not been taken for granted. It had not gone unnoticed. And he concludes the letter by addressing how much he valued them, how much he valued their generosity to him. And so as we look at the conclusion of this letter this morning, I want us to focus on Paul is responding to the Philippians' generosity. So how can we learn from him how we should respond to generosity? When people are generous to us, how should we respond to that? And that's what I believe Paul will help us to see this morning. Not taking generosity for granted, not being like the boy with the cookie experiment and just thinking, well, that's you got what you wanted and I got what I wanted, and take that generosity for granted. So three principles I think we can learn. One is we should appreciate others' generosity. We should appreciate others' generosity. Paul continues here by expressing his heartfelt appreciation for the Philippians' generosity. Verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction." Paul wanted the believers there in Philippi to know how much he appreciated their partnership with him in his ministry. They had been with him and supported him through good times and especially in the hard times. Remember, Paul began the letter in chapter 1, verse 5, by thanking God for their participation in the gospel from the first day until now. They had been partners. He ministered with them and to them. He's gone on to minister other places, and they have been faithful to support him. And so now he's praising them for continuing to participate in his ministry, and in particular by sending this sacrificial gift to support him in his ministry while imprisoned in Rome. So Paul wanted the Philippians to know how much he appreciated their generosity. And he went on to assure them that he had not forgotten about their generosity in the past. Verse 15, he says, "You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs." After Paul left Philippi, again, this is about 10 years ago from the time he's writing this, he went to other cities to proclaim the gospel there. And the Philippians had financially supported him in his ministry on several occasions. And you notice he highlights Thessalonica, and he says, "Even there you supported me." And what's significant about that? Well, Thessalonica was the next city that he went after he left Philippi. So he's emphasizing the fact, from the very beginning of my ministry, you supported me while I was with you, and when I left, you supported me in other places. And he said more than once. It was repeated. So he wants them to understand, I appreciate your faithfulness as you have been involved in partnership with me in ministry. He wanted them to know he had not forgotten their repeated generosity. He appreciated it and wanted them to know that. Paul then explained to the Philippians that he not only appreciated their generosity for the benefit it gave to him, but he also wants to know that there would be benefit for them for their generosity. Verse 17, "Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account." You see, Paul knew that God would bless the Philippian believers for their generosity. And so he's wanting them to know, I appreciate it so much, but I want you to know God is going to bless you for your generosity in giving to support me. You see, Paul didn't rejoice only in what was sent, the money, but he rejoiced in why it was sent. It was an act of worship, of loving service to God. The believers in Philippi sacrificially had given to support Paul's ministry as he served God. And Paul recognized that. And so he wants them to know, yes, I have benefited from your gift and I appreciate it so much, but I want you to know God is going to bless you for your generosity. And what would that blessing look like? Well, things on earth, contentment, fulfillment, meaning, purpose, joy, all those qualities that we all want. But think about it too, that blessing would also result in reward in heaven. And so Paul says, you have been such a blessing to me. God has worked through you, and I want you to know I appreciate it. But God will bless you for doing it as well. So like Paul, here's just an example that he sets for us. When we experience generosity, we need to let people know. We need to appreciate their generosity. It's so easy to take generosity, other people's generosity, for granted, isn't it? It is easy to just assume that we deserve it, maybe, and not even think that somebody actually was thinking about us and maybe sacrificially gave something, their time, their energy, money, possessions, resources, whatever that might be. Maybe we assume, well, they know I appreciate it, and we don't ever let them know. And we assume that, yeah, well, they know that. Maybe we think that their generosity toward us is you know, not that big a deal. And, you know, we were doing fine, but, you know, thanks for it. You know, there's so many ways we can take people's generosity for granted. And Paul just gives us an example here that we need to appreciate it. Let people know that we are grateful, we appreciate their generosity. We need to go out of our way to let them know. But we also, just like Paul did, as we appreciate people for their generosity, just remind them that God sees that too. And God will bless you for that, to encourage them in their generosity. You know, what a positive way to respond when other people are generous to us. So we need to appreciate others' generosity. But that leads to another point that Paul goes on to illustrate for us. We should also celebrate God's provision. We should also celebrate God's provision. Paul went on here to celebrate God's provision of his needs through the Philippians' generosity. In verse 18, he says, "But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent." Paul wanted the Philippians to realize, yes, I received the gift from Epaphroditus, and I have everything I need. Your generous gift has given me more than I need, and it will help sustain me for time in the future. Remember, Epaphroditus got sick after he was there and was wanting the people back home to know that he was okay. And so Paul is going to send this letter back with Epaphroditus. So he had been the messenger between the believers at Philippi and the apostle Paul. But Paul is saying here that he was overwhelmed with their generosity to him. And even though he was trusting God and he knew God would provide, he's recognizing God provided through you believers at Philippi. So while he had learned to be content with barely getting by, he's rejoicing that the Philippians had been so generous in providing for his needs. I want you to know how he describes this gift that they had sent. As he continues, he describes it as a sacrificial act of worship to God. Continuing in verse 18, he says, he calls it a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. You see, these terms or these descriptions, fragrant aroma, acceptable sacrifices, those are phrases used in the Old Testament to describe the sacrifices that the believers offered to God as an act of worship. And God was pleased with those sacrifices. And that is, if they were brought with sincere hearts. God detested their sacrifices when they were just going through the motion of religious duty. But when they did it with sincere hearts, wanting to worship God, God was very pleased with those. So as Paul is viewing this gift, this financial gift that the believers at Philippi had sent to him, he says, "You did that as an act of worship. You did that as an act of service to God. And he says, God, I know, is well pleased with what you did in offering or being generous with this gift to me. Their sincere sacrifice of giving was pleasing to God. So in reality, you see how Paul is viewing this gift. He's viewing it as ultimately coming from God, not from the Philippian believers. God had provided his need through the Philippian believers. They were giving as an act of worship to God. Paul was the recipient of that gift. So he's ultimately viewing this gift as coming from God. God provided it for him, even though he did it through the Philippian believers. So he wanted them to know, I appreciate your generosity, but I'm celebrating God's provision. God provided this. He's the one used you to provide what I needed. He wanted the Philippians to see that God was working through them. And Paul went on to assure them that just as God had provided his needs through them, they could count on God to be faithful to provide their needs. Verse 19, he says, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." So Paul, always being one to focus on other people, again, turns this from the gift I received that God provided to encourage them, and God will provide for you as well. He will be faithful to you just as he was faithful to me. And I believe he's referring here when he says he'll supply all your needs. He's referring to their material needs, their physical needs. They had sacrificed to send him a financial gift, and he's saying, and you, because your sacrificial offering of this gift as an act of worship to God, you can count on God. He's going to provide what you need. And he's going to be faithful. And he promised them that God would provide their needs. And it's not according to their limited resources, but according to his unlimited resources. My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You see, he's telling these believers, don't look at your situation and think, well, this God's not doing a very good job. Realize God has unlimited resources and he will provide your needs in his way, in his time. Trust God, trust his wisdom, trust his provision. And it's such an important principle that they realized, he's basically saying you can't outgive God. You're giving to God and he'll be faithful to give to you. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to give you what you want, but what you need. And he, as your loving father, knows exactly what you need. It's like someone said, God isn't promising here to supply all our greeds. He's promising to supply all our need. And God knows what those are. So Paul here is celebrating God's provision to him through the Philippians' generosity. And he also wants them to celebrate God's provision for them. You can trust God. He'll be faithful. And just thinking about this, Paul erupted in praise here in verse 20. He says, "Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." As he's thinking about God's unlimited resources, how God worked through the Philippian believers to provide his need by their generosity, and how God is always faithful to provide all their needs and his needs, he just says, glory to God. Glory to God. He's not giving glory to the Philippians. He's appreciating what they did, but he is celebrating God, isn't he? God, you're the one. You're the one that is provided. You're the one that's worthy of all glory. Not just for the present, but for all eternity. And Paul wanted the believers there at Philippi to rejoice and celebrate in God as well, as they thought of God's providing their needs. God is so gracious, and he abundantly would provide his needs and their needs. So Paul wanted the Philippians to join with him in celebrating God's provision. So when we think about generosity, when others are generous to us, we not only need to appreciate their generosity, but we need to go deeper than that and celebrate God's provision. Recognize God at work in meeting our needs. God uses other people's generosity to meet our needs, but He's the ultimate source of everything that we have and everything that we need. And we need to celebrate His provision as we appreciate others' generosity. And James in chapter 1:17 says, every good thing given, every perfect gift comes from God. God is the source of everything, ultimately. So we need to celebrate Him as we appreciate others for what they do for us. You see, God knows what we need. And as Paul says, He has unlimited resources. So we can trust Him. He's always going to provide what we need. And again, not what we want necessarily, but what He knows we need. And He knows everything about us. He knows what we need to grow and mature in our relationship with Him, to be able to serve other people, to enjoy life to the fullest. So God's promise is to provide our needs. We need to celebrate His provision in our lives. Yes, He uses other people at times, their generosity to encourage us to provide our needs, whether it's, again, finances or just emotional encouragement, spiritual encouragement, whatever that might be. But God is at work. We need to celebrate His provision for us. So as important as it is to appreciate others' generosity, don't forget to celebrate God's provision. And then Paul closes the letter with, I think, one more characteristic of how we respond to generosity. That is, we should demonstrate Christ-like love. We should demonstrate Christ-like love. Paul concludes this letter by telling the Philippians how much he loved them. Verse 21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Now, saint, he says, all the saints greet you. The saints greet all the saints there. It's important that we understand that a saint, the term means a set apart one or a holy one. And it refers to being set apart from sin to God. So every believer who has placed his or her faith in Christ has been set apart as holy to God. Every believer is a saint. So when Paul talks about the saints greet you, greet the saints, he's just saying greet the believers. The believers here greet you. And the term greet that he used, it implies a strong bond of fellowship. And it's indicative of the relationship that Paul had with the Philippian believers. They had a very close relationship. And Paul says he wants every believer there in Philippi to receive his greeting, to know he's thinking about them, that he loves them and cares about them. He wanted them all to know that they were special to him. And, you know, there might have been some people who are hearing this letter read in the church there that are thinking, well, I didn't contribute to the offering or the gift that was sent, so I'm really, you know, messed up. Paul's thinking, no, all of you, I love all of you. You all are important to me. You're all important to God. And he wants them all to know that. You see, he was concerned with the spiritual well-being of every one of the believers there in Philippi. You see, he's modeling a Christ-like love, isn't he? That he's caring for them and loving them. Even though he's separated by miles and distance from them, he wants them to know he loves them. He also sent greetings from, as he says, from the brethren who are with me and all the saints. The brethren who are with me are basically his co-workers. We know Timothy was there, and there were probably other men that were ministering with him. He says, they send their greeting to you as well. And then he says, all the believers and all the saints. So in Rome, there were believers there before Paul was imprisoned there. And then there's many more believers who have responded to his teaching of the gospel. So all these believers, you see, Paul is so concerned about people. He's always thinking about people. And he wants the believers in Philippi to know how much he loves them and cares about them. But he also wants them to realize there are believers here that are just as important, just as significant to me. I love them and care about them as well. So that Christ-like love is just oozing out of this conclusion as Paul sends greetings to these people in Philippi. But you notice he sent a special greeting from many who were of Caesar's household. And this is amazing as you think about Caesar, the emperor of Rome, his household, not necessarily his family, but his staff, the slaves, all the people who cooked, and you know, just the people who worked for Caesar in kind of positions underneath him. Paul sends greetings from that specific group of people. And what Paul is saying is the gospel has not just reached the normal people, but people who are influenced by a pagan ruler are even responding to the gospel. And they are they send their greetings. We saw back at the beginning in chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said that many of the soldiers even had responded in faith. Remember, he's chained to guards 24/7, and he's sharing the gospel with every one of them. And some of them have become believers. So all these people that Paul is mentioning here are just showing Paul's concern for people, his Christ-like love that he has for people. And he wants them to understand how much he cares about them and loves them. And then he concluded the letter by expressing his desire that the Philippians experience God's grace. Verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What is grace? It's God's undeserved beneficial favor, his beneficial love that God shows. We're not worthy of it. We don't deserve it. But as even as we sung about it this morning, it's God showing us his love, his favor, and for our benefit, even though we definitely don't deserve it. Paul wanted the Philippians to experience God's gracious love every day. He's saying, may you experience God's grace, his unconditional love, his faithfulness to you, as they continue to be generous givers, whether it was to him or to other people. You see, Paul is exemplifying Christ-like love, concern for other people, the people in his life, the people that are ministering to him, the people that he is ministering to. They needed to follow his example of demonstrating Christ-like love. So once again, Paul gives us a great example. We not only need to appreciate others' generosity and celebrate God's provision, but we need to demonstrate Christ-like love to others. We're all saints because of our relationship to Christ, because of the generosity of God. What does Jesus say in John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave. He's generous. He gave his son who went to the cross and was judged for our sin so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with him. You know, that is ultimate love that God's demonstrated to us. And we are to exemplify that kind of love in our lives, that Christ-like love. As Jesus said in John 15, we are to love others like he loved us. Now, those people who are generous to us, maybe they're a little easier to show Christ-like love, but that's not limited to that. We are to show Christ-like love to everyone, especially those who are generous to us, as to demonstrate our appreciation to them. And just as Paul wished them to experience God's grace, we can count on God's grace to enable us to do this. God's grace is always sufficient for everything he requires us to do, everything we do. He provides all our needs. So when Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, he's saying, just let God work through you. Trust him to work through you. So when others are generous to us, let's appreciate their generosity as we celebrate God's provision and demonstrate Christ-like love. Father, thank you for this passage here in Philippians. Lord, thank you for Paul's response that he records here as he expresses his appreciation to the Philippian believers. Father, they were generous and he wanted them to understand that, but he understood that the blessing truly comes from you. And thank you, Father, that you have promised to meet all our needs. You will be faithful to us. Help us to be generous, but also help us to appreciate the generosity others show us as we realize that you are providing our needs through them. Lord, help us to just show Christ-like love to other people as we think think about how you work in their lives and how you work through them for our benefit. Help us, Lord, to be the your followers who will just be generous and respond to generosity in a loving, caring way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.